Blog Talk Radio.
Was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And we thank you for tuning in on today to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So it's good to be here, and we're thankful to be here. Thank God for his great grace unto us, his loving kindness, his tender mercies. He's great, and he is greatly to be praised. So it's good to be here another time on Truth with Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. I was out of town the last couple weeks, so I'm back now. So it's good to be here. So we are thankful for that. And so I thank God for being so good to me, taking me over the airways and over the highways and byways. Just like the scripture says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So when you can go and come without hurt, harm, or danger, it is a blessing from God to go where you're going and to come back safely. So it's so good to be here. So I just thank God for his salvation, for bringing me out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that's what Peter said, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we welcome everyone to Truth Ministry. And as I always ask, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So we're glad to be live today, April the 10th, 2018, at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we'd like to welcome all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our Twitter followers, and any of all of those on LinkedIn. We'd like to welcome you also, our LinkedIn, not LinkedIn, but Instagram, our Instagram connections that we have on Instagram. So it's so good to be here, and so we're thankful to be here. So we are still in our series of Only Believe in the Godhead, and so that's my ongoing theme, the God who is the head of all things, that there is only one God, and so even the devils believe and tremble. They know that there is one God. And I mean, and the devil himself, the little devils, they use the word demons, but actually they are devils. So they believe there is one God, and they tremble. So we're continuing on today, and so we're going to begin another series on today, and then we'll just go from here. But the end times are upon us, and so it is so paramount to talk about the end times and what's going on. But before we get there, we want you to know, as we know, that there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is St. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians. So he definitely encouraged them, that great prayer in the third chapter, just letting them know who they are, their position in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I've been saying on the last month or so, I just want everyone to know that I belong to the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, an apostolic organization that I have been in ever since I got saved. And so, and especially since I've been a licensed minister and an ordained, licensed elder and an ordained elder. So Pentecostal Assemblies of the World Incorporated is headquartered out of the city of Indianapolis and the state of Indiana, in the city of Indianapolis, the state of Indiana. So out of Indianapolis, Indiana, is where the headquarters of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World Incorporated is, the presiding prelate being the Bishop Charles H. Ellis III from Detroit, Michigan. He is the presiding bishop of the PAOW, Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. So anyway, I've been in the licensed since 1980, and so I relocated from my home state of Michigan, the state I was born in, and I relocated in December of 2016 to the state of Florida. So I've been doing Blog Talk since 2010, Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So I relocated in December of 2016 to the state of Florida, and my home church is Vision Worship Center, Inc., 1071 Northwest 31st Ave in Pompano Beach, Florida, where Dr. Kevin Chandelou is the pastor. And so he is the bishop and the founder of Vision Worship Center. He is a senior pastor. That is, should you be in the South Florida area, as I want to emphasize, if you are in the South Florida area, that would be north of Fort Lauderdale and the Miami Beach, in between West Palm and Fort Lauderdale, would be Vision Worship Center, 1071 Northwest 31st Ave, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069, where Dr. Kevin Chandelou is the pastor and founder. He is the bishop of Vision Worship Center. So you are welcome. And our Sunday morning services are at 9 a.m. with the exception of the first Sundays of the month. Our Sunday worship service would be at 7 a.m. on the first Sunday of every month. And then all of the other Sundays of the month, it's at 9 a.m. is our worship service. So, and then the first and third Tuesdays are our solution studies. That will be our Bible class. And the second and fourth Tuesdays is our intercessory prayer. And that time is 7:30 p.m. So that's the first and third Tuesdays, our Bible class, solution studies. And the second and fourth Tuesdays is our intercessory prayer, which both of those services begin at 7:30 p.m. So just like to pass that information along. Should you be in the South Florida area and you want to drop by in one of our worship services, to come in and worship with us, you are welcome. So we want to give out the call-in number for our show, and that would be 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. Should you have a question or should you have a comment, you are welcome to do so. So that is our call-in number, 929-477-2285. Okay, so like I said, we're grateful to be here on today to share out of the Word of God. It is so important to look into the perfect law of liberty. So it's not what we think, but it's what the Word of the Lord says. And so we know that Jesus made it plain during his earthly ministry what the mission was all about, and that is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the same message that John the Baptist had, he had: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he just went on farther. John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So he had to die. He had to be buried. He had to get up, rise from the dead on the third day. And so he commanded them to that repentance, to go back to the city of Jerusalem and wait till they be endued with power from on high. And so he told them, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said, thus I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So it behooves us. That would be the problem. Nowadays, we wouldn't have so many false prophets out there and false teachers if they had the new birth experience, the New Testament experience, the new birth, that is water, the water baptism in the name of Jesus, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, as the Spirit gives utterance. According to Joel 2:28, shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That means preach. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. He went on to say, upon your servants and handmaids will I pour out of my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So you got to know what you're talking about. So you got to receive the power of God. Too many people have not received, they call it the Pentecost experience. So Pentecost, we know, is a day. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, appeared unto them, clothed in tongues, like as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So Acts 2:1-4. And so this is what is so important. The writer Isaiah says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? So if you've been following me, you know that I am a stickler on that word doctrine, to, you don't have to be afraid of the word doctrine, because doctrine is teaching. So every so-called religion has a teaching. So they were astonished at Jesus' doctrine. So you got to have the right teaching. So this is what some say. They want to just say the honorable whoever, so-and-so teaches. So we want to tell you about what the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, teaches. So he says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? He goes on to say, them that are weaned from the milk, drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So this is what, and then goes on to drive home the point that I was making just a few minutes ago. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is refreshing, yet they were not here. So this is talking about the new thing that God was going to do, and that is the Holy Ghost. Now, he's not doing nothing else new. All of this stuff these lying prophets are saying that he's going to do, the new thing is the new birth. The new thing is the Holy Ghost, and God is a God of order, and he works accordingly. So is he doing miracles? All the time. Yes, he is. So, but it's not, he's going to change the rules. People going to make him do whatever they want him to do. No, God is a God of order. He always was, had order, and he always is a God of order. And he committed this gospel into the hands of men. So that's why, even like when he told St. Paul, when he got his attention in the 9th chapter, in the 22nd chapter, in the 26th chapter, when he was giving his testimony, that he said, that told him that to go to the street called Straight, and he had a man is going to be told him what thou oughtest to do, and so what he must do, and then not only him, but also when the door of salvation was opened unto the Gentiles in the 10th chapter of Acts, he told the same thing to Cornelius. The angel told Cornelius, go to down to Joppa to one Simon of Tanner's house who dwells by the seaside, one Simon Peter. He's going to tell you what you oughtest to do. So God's order, what is God's order? He gave Peter the keys, Matthew 16 and 18. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He goes on to say, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. That means exactly what it says. So even today, when he went on to say, we were taught to pay very close attention to repetition. Whatever. So he went on to say in that 18th chapter of Matthew, again, I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. So that means exactly what it says. So today, we want to talk about signs, the end time signs before the coming of the Lord. And so we want to talk about many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ. So Christ is the anointed. So people saying they're anointed, and shall deceive many. So you got all kinds of people doing a live stream, do it all over the airways, don't know what they're talking about. There, as once one of my colleagues in the gospel said, they are explaining the Bible away. Because this, like somebody tried to attack me about a month ago or so, trying to tell me that I didn't have the Holy Ghost and tell me that I've got their book and all of that. No, I'm saying what the Word of God says. This is His Word. As the psalmist says, thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. So His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So that's why He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, which the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in St. John 5 and 39. So it's not my word, but it's committed unto my trust, or it's his word, it's his gospel. That's why St. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believed, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He went on to say, for therein, talking about in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. A literal Habakkuk 2 and 4, the just shall live by his faith. So we want to get in some of the end time things that are going on. And so, like he said, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. And so Mark 13 and 5, Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They're saying they are anointed, and then there are so many. I've never seen so many people coming out, even these so-called apostles. I mean, they're driving. The ones that I watch, they are driving themselves crazy because they're trying to they're in reality trying to convince themselves that they are apostles. So if they go somewhere, I mean, they would take it as being slighted if you don't address them as apostle. St. John didn't do that. He said in the book of the Revelation, I'm your brother and companion in, you know, in patience in kingdom, you know, of the Lord, is what he was saying. So he didn't take it as being slighted because if he didn't get addressed apostle. So, I mean, and he was the last apostle to die. So the whole point is we should be promoting the gospel and not these folks are so caught up in titles. And so that's just a shame. But in Revelation 1 and 9, so he says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and Ephesus and Smyrna, and Pergamos and Thyatira, and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. So those are the churches, the seven churches in Asia Minor. And we're actually today, we're in the church age of the Laodicea, the lukewarm age. I turned to see the voice that spake unto me, that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs was white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire. So his head and his hair is white like wool, the Ancient of Days. So his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass that they burn in a furnace. His voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun, shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars, are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So he goes on to deal with that, and he deals with that in the second and the third chapter of Revelation. So we are today, we are just want to bring to light some of the signs of the coming of the Lord. And so that was one that I mentioned about, that he was saying, take heed lest any man deceive you. So you got to, and the terminology is the self same thing in Matthew 24, take heed that no man deceive you. And in Luke, he also says the same thing. So we got people, I've seen it, the over 40 years that I've been in church. So the last 20 plus years or so is when these folks are coming out, talking out of the side of their neck, calling themselves apostles. And too many people don't have the backbone to stand up and to say what the Word of God says. The apostles are dead. They were chosen by the Lord. They were taught personally by the Lord. They were eyewitnesses. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. And except for Luke, he was not an apostle. And then all of the apostles died horrible death of martyrs, and except for John, who wrote the book of the Revelation. And you had to be an eyewitness. So that's why St. Paul was saying, and last of all, he was seen of me. So you personally had to see him. Like I said, they were personally taught, chosen. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. They died the death of a martyr, except for John. So these people are coming up. I don't know why. And so the Lord chose 12 apostles. Even like he said, I chose 12 of you, and one of you is a devil. So he's talking about Judas Iscariot, you know, which was the one who betrayed him. He was the deceiver. And so they cast lots, and they said, Lord, you know the hearts of all men. Show whether of these which you chose, you know. So, and then the lot fell upon Matthias. So we don't hear anything about Matthias. But he chose the Apostle Paul. So what is a wonder about God? He chose Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles. So we actually have really been talking about some of the end time signs. So some of the keys that that was pointed out years ago. So he said, as was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. So those are key things that we should look out for when you're talking about the end times. So what did they do? It was so much violence in the days of Noah. So in the days of Noah, that's why God had Noah to build an ark. And I mean, some people think it's funny, you know, as it is not funny. They thought Noah was out of his mind because it never had rained before, but he obeyed God and built the ark out of gopher wood, just like the Lord told him to. And so everybody who didn't get in there, all the nice people, they got it. They didn't get in there. Everybody died but 8 people. Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives. 8 people went in there. So this is what, and so we go on here like we're talking. So you can actually find in the book of Mark, it's what we are outlined when he Mark 13:5, the end time signs before the appearing of the Lord to rapture the church, the bride of Christ. Take heed lest any man deceive you. So that's Mark 13:5. So we're saying many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So also in the book of Matthew, Jesus said he went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. So we know the temple was destroyed by General Titus and way back. I don't remember exactly the year, but that's already been done. So he says, see not all of these things. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So that's already happened. He sat upon the Mount of Olives. His disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? That's three questions. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So it's the self-same thing. This is what we were saying. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I am anointed, and shall deceive many. You shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And so this is Matthew 24. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So these things are constantly going on. We hearing of wars and rumors of wars, and then people are talking, and then earthquakes and all, in diverse places, so many places. So the Lord is sending signs. So the violence that's in the land, the wars, the rumors of wars. Evil men, we talked about in the book of Timothy, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's nothing hid that shall not be revealed. So God is allowing the cover to be pulled off of people. So you got people just like Bill Cosby has been accused of rape and molestation and seducing people. And drugging people, and I mean all this. These women, for the life of me, I was baffled, like as to why did they take so long to come out. But anyway, he's got to face the piper, as they say. And so not only him, but others in Hollywood are getting uncovered. And then you got the man in the White House, and it's crazy because you got to realize that the devil is crafty and he uses people. And if the devil gets your mind, he will possess you and you will do what he says. So some people are messengers of hell. They're liars. They've been lying so much. And they, like they said, you get certain people under oath for 2 or 3 hours. No way in the world they can keep talking. They're going to end up lying because they are a liar. And their lying lips are abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 12:22, the Bible said, but they that deal truly are his delight. So some folks are liars. And so we know that the news media sensationalize. Now, they blow stuff up because everybody want to get ratings. Oh, you heard it here first. So they stretch stuff out. They make people say things that they weren't saying. And so this is why the man at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue tries to say that they're fake. Well, that's stupid, because if the news media is totally fake, that means he's not the president, because that's how we heard about him, through the media. So that won't fly. So people are lying and doing stuff, and God is pulling the cover off. And so everybody has to answer to somebody. Doesn't, you know, you even in a that's the government that God has set up. Everyone is subject to somebody, even in the church, saying all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. And Peter said God resisteth the proud. So in other words, he's going to keep on, he ain't playing, but he gives grace unto the humble. So we're all subject one to another, and you could be called in question at any time. I remember one of our late former presiding bishops said that, you know, because, you know, some people think that they are the chief. They don't have to answer to nobody. No, it doesn't matter. If you're the presider, if you're the chief prelate, you can be called into question at any time. So why should you be afraid or scared if somebody's lying on you? Because that's never stopped. Folks have been lying on folks since the beginning, since Cain slew Abel. And like the Lord said about the devil, he sinned from the beginning, and he was a liar and the father of lies. So you got so many things going on, so much violence in the land. And so he told us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So this is 1 John 2, the second chapter. And so he goes on to say, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So this is in 1 John 2 and 15. So he goes on to say, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they are not of the world, but of the Father. They're not of the Father, but of the world. So all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So people, you know, they got sayings that feel good, do it, and all that. So they don't value marriage like they should, because that's not love, that is lust. So that's not acceptable to God. Having sex outside of marriage is adultery and fornication, depending on if the two people are not married to each other and neither one of them are married to nobody else, they're fornicators. One person, if a man is married and a woman is not, the man is an adulterer. And if the woman is not married, she's a fornicator. And if the woman is married, she's an adulterer, and the man is not married to the woman that he is having sex with, if the man is not married, then he's a fornicator. And the woman, if she's married, she's an adulterer. So it's either or. So if you're a fornicator or adulterer, it's in the same classification. Then God is not playing. Doesn't matter what the Supreme Court did. Don't matter what law man passed. God is against anything that is against his word. So he made the woman for the man. So you can't marry a man if you are a man, if you are a male, if you are male, or you can't marry a woman if you are a woman, or you are a female, you can't marry another female. It doesn't matter what the law says. It's cursed. God is against it. And so he's going to judge it. So that's still in the class of fornication, two dirty men together. I mean, it's ridiculous. I never thought I'd see that. When another man would make mention, you see him on game shows, you see him doing the weather, doing the news, men married to other men and women married to other women. It's nasty. It's totally ridiculous. It stinks in God's sight. So it's rotten to the core. So it shows you what time we're living in. So that's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So that's the same time. So that is one of the signs of the time. Just like he said, it was in the days of Lot. So what did they do? They sowed, they planted, they built. So all of the stuff that they did, they knew it not. The same day that God got Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he rained down fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So he's not playing. And so that's why he's sinning. We got the signs of the end time. So I've seen it. So even it's depending on what generation you're in, and if, you know, people who have been in the apostolic church are exposed to the truth, exposed to the Word of God. And so my children, I have all sons. They're exposed. They know about it. So it doesn't matter. You know, people need to be in the will of God no matter who they are. Sometimes you could stray away, but you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So they know the truth. So I say, I made statements, I say it again, that foolishness of this same-sex marriage stuff is rotten to the core. It's from the pit of hell. And it's, and so in my case, it would be it's to try to blow my grandchildren's mind, because my children been taught. They know better. So God made, so it's like I was talking to one of my grandchildren, my grandsons, when I was in Michigan the other week. So talking to his mother, my daughter-in-law, my son's wife. So he's one of my grandsons, actually my two grandsons, they both are teenagers. So little boy, they like girls. Boys or young men are supposed to like girls. So, but you got to watch the way you treat young ladies. You don't get yourself in a compromising situation or none of that, but it's natural. You're supposed to, God made you to like the opposite sex. You should be attracted to the opposite sex, not looking at your teenage boy or a young man. You're looking at other men. No, it's natural to look at the opposite sex and vice versa. But you have to watch how you treat, you know, you don't get yourself in a compromising situation. Not this foolishness where when President Obama ran the first time and he said openly that he believed that sex was between, marriage was between a man and a woman. And so, and then when he ran again, his second term, even had his wife, and I mean, they're both lawyers. They should know better than that foolishness. You can love who you want. No, you can't. That's not love. Two nasty women licking and sniffing on each other, and two men with each other. That is rotten to the, it stinks in the sight of God in his nostrils, because he made woman for the man. So what you should want is your own wife, not two nasty men together and two nasty women together. You know, a woman calling another woman her wife and a dirty man calling another man his husband. That's rotten to the core, and the Supreme Court need to be beat for a matter of speech. They should be ashamed of themselves. They should know better. So that's why they got an even, an odd number. So it was a 5-4 vote. Five people were for it and four people were against it. So shows you, you know, somebody has some sense. And the other ones, they, you know, they agreed to that garbage. So, but that's one of the signs of the end time and the violence. So too many people are, it's the spirit of the age. No patience. Like today, somebody is behind me blowing. I mean, I'm waiting to get out in traffic because I got to get in the left lane to make a U-turn. And so I got to wait until it's clear. I don't care who behind me. Away with him. I'm not going to fly out there seconds in front of other cars because somebody else is in a hurry. But that's the time that we're living in. So it's the spirit of the age. There's so much violence, so much wickedness going on in the world, like we said, the lust, you know, all kinds of stuff going on. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And so God is beholding the good and the evil. He sees everything. And so he's looking at who those that have a perfect heart toward him. So these things are signs to let us know what time it is. And so it's no coincidence. Everything that happens, God is, we say, trying to get people's attention. No, he's getting people's attention. He wants people to listen to him. Just like he said in the first three books of the Revelation, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And also when it, what he said, when we whatsoever things are written for, were written for our learning, Romans 15:4, that we through comfort and patience of the Scriptures might have hope. So all things were not to us, they were to Israel, but they were for our learning, the New Testament church. And so that's why in the 95th Psalm, he says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So that's what they did. So that's why the warning is given. And so to pay very close attention to repetition, even in the book of Hebrews, they said they were hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And he went on to talking about having an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So that one word, why Israel couldn't enter in, the Hebrew writer says, so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. So you can just do everything right and don't believe, and you end up in the lake of fire. So we got to believe God. So it's, we have no other choice but to believe his word, because it's for our good. And so it behooves us to believe him. So as we've been saying, like the signs of Matthew 24, Mark 13, and then in the book of Luke, we have also two other places where we can bring out the word of the Lord, the signs of the beginning, of the end times. I mean, actually, even before the destruction of the temple, and also, it's like a double reference prophecy for us today. He said unto his disciples, and he demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. He answered them, he said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So these, you know, the Pharisees, neither say they, shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So in other words, just like he said, what is the first and great commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. So if we love him as we should, with all our heart, all soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbor as ourselves, we will treat our fellow man right. When we love him, we won't do anything to harm anybody. So, I mean, that's so simple, but yet it's so complex to people. So he goes on to say, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, shall not see it. And they say unto him, you see here, he's talking about the go not after him nor follow them. So that, you know, people saying they're Christ and they're going to deceive many is what he's making reference to as lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven, shine to the other part under heaven. So shall also the Son of Man be in his day. So he's going on, he's talking about his impending death. First he must suffer many things, be rejected of this generation, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married. Why? They were given in marriage till the day Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them. And then he goes on here, likewise, also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So that's what I was making reference to when I first came on. So then he goes on here, and that day, so like I said, even he's talking about before the tribulation period and all that, that day he which shall be upon his housetop and his stuff in his house, let him not come down to take away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. So what he's saying, you got to be ready. You can't be getting ready. You got to be ready, just like the five wise virgins and the five foolish. So he goes on here, one of the most important scriptures warning us in the Bible, and that is Luke 17 and 32. Remember Lot's wife. So what does she do? Lot's wife is an example of unbelief. Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. So you got to be ready. So we have to have our minds. So where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. So like I said, it's no accident that God is pulling the cover off of people. So the important thing is, so just like even on this platform, I'm not trying to promote me. I'm trying to give information, to share out of the word of the Lord of his soon coming. And so we thought, because he said, it's the last words of the Lord, surely I come quickly. Like someone said, I never forget the example. This sister is going on to be with the Lord some years ago, but she said, if he don't come in for the next 100 years, and when he does come, you're not ready, that's too soon. So he's going to come suddenly. So that's why the writer says, St. Paul was saying, for the Lord himself, in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not even as others which have no hope. This I say unto you by the word of the Lord, we that are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. But so he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So St. Paul also letting them know in the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, he's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the kinds of seed, the kinds of bodies. He goes on to say, sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. Is sown in weakness, is raised in power. Is sown in corruption, is raised in incorruption. And he goes on to say, when it's corruptible, shall put on incorruptible. And this mortal have put on immortality, and shall be brought to pass. The saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So he says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So that moment that he's talking about is before you can bat your eye. So this corruptible shall put on incorruption. So we're going to be changed. We're not all going to sleep, what he's saying. Everybody's not going to go by the way of the grave. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. When this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and the mortal shall put on immortality, then going to be brought to pass the saying that is written, that death is swallowed up in victory. That's why he goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he goes on to say, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we have to believe God. And so Enoch was the seventh from Adam. So Enoch was translated that, excuse me, that he should not see death. So we go on here, just like he was saying, remember Lot's wife, whosoever shall seek his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night, There shall be two men in one bed. One shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding together. One shall be taken and the other left. Talking about they're working in the marketplace, in the mill. Two men shall be in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. They answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. And so this is why God set the solitary in families. Psalm 68 and verse 6, he brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. This is no one man show, but we're in families of God. So we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2 and 20. So it behooves us to believe the word of God. And so knowing that time is near. So this is why in the 13th chapter of Romans, when he was saying about us casting off light, then he was going on to say, now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. And so in the book of Ephesians, it says, wake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. So in other words, be alert, be aware. He's not talking about a natural sleep, but he's talking about people, spiritual sleep. Just like the 10 virgins, they all slumbered and slept. But the wise had oil in their vessels with their lamps. So you, in your vessel, you can put oil in your lamp. So like having food. You got food and water with you. You can keep yourself hydrated. Keep yourself where you're not starving. You can keep going. You got to have energy. So you can't burn a lamp. So just say, for instance, I know about kerosene. You can't burn a kerosene lamp without kerosene. So because I used to buy it, I had a kerosene heater, and you keep it clean. You keep a clean wick in it, and those things will get hot and keep your furnace from coming on. And I had that when I lived in a smaller house. So you keep a clean wick, and it will burn. It won't stink, because I have been to people's house, went to see one of my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law that lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and that makes you sick because he didn't keep those wicks clean in those kerosene lamps. So the point being is you have to have, like they said, they had oil in their vessels with their lamps. So that's why the five foolish virgins asked the five wise, give us oil, because our lamps are going out. So in other words, you got extra oil. It's in your vessel to be able to put in your lamp. So that's why he said to the Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You want to be drunk on things, but you want to have your mind in the right place. You want to be conscious. You want to be cognizant of what time it is. So we thank God for his word. And so we will talk again on next time. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And as we ask you all the time, that we want you to believe. So remember, we're talking about that time is short. We're talking about the end time. And so the question is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? God bless you.